All right, Sunday morning, 8:11:24. This is a teaching. It's a long title here. Let the finger of God write the prescription. All right, we're going to look at ministering to the sick. Brother Hagin used to have a saying. He would say, laying empty hands on empty heads. All right. Deliverance and praying for the sick must be led by the Spirit. Or we're just laying empty hands on empty heads. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. I'll start with verse 20 there. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus taught the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus had to be led by the Spirit. He said, my Father in me, he does the works. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dark places seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Like I told you before, the Lord's spoken to me about, you know, first of all, you don't lay hands subtly on anybody. And you better have the mind of God when you go start dealing with people that's got problems. Because you don't know how deep it goes. You don't know what all's involved in it unless the Holy Spirit shows you. And that's how Jesus operated. All right, this is how Jesus ministered the kingdom of God. If he had to do it that way, then we must do it that way. Jesus always got results. We, when we follow the Spirit of God in ministering to the sick or ministering deliverance, should expect to see the kingdom of God come upon us. This is basically what Jesus' ministry consisted of. Right here, Acts 10:38. We'll go ahead and read it there since. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, not empty hands on empty heads. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So it looks like he had 100% success rate. The ones he laid hands on, they all. It says they all. They were delivered. They got the results. All right. The whole world then and the whole world now are bound by the evil one, and we need God's help to help them. People that need help are sometimes desperate, will pull on you to perform. The woman with the issue of blood is a prime example. I've had that happen to me, and I hate it. And it pressures you into just doing an empty hand on an empty head prayer. How many times have we done that? Yeah, we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but we have to get the instructions, don't we? Even a doctor, if you go see a doctor, he ain't going to say, well, I'll throw you a bottle of pills at you or whatever. No, he's going to put you through tests. He's going to, you know, try to find out where the source of the problem is. We get so silly. Christians are so silly. They just don't think about You know, this is a inside walk. It's totally inside out. Doesn't mean we don't do natural stuff, but that's even led by the Spirit. So they're just doing a bunch of stuff. I've been in some of the, seen some stuff. I'll just say that. We all have. We've seen some silly, worthless, powerless stuff. It sounded good, and it got the emotions all stirred up, but did it really do anything? Did it really get anybody healed? Did it really get anybody free from demonic oppression? All right. Luke 8:56. We would be better to do nothing than to just do something. Don't forget that. It's better to do nothing than to just do something. The finger of God is the power to do something. Jesus did it by the power of God. Luke 8:56. Why did I put that there? Okay. This little girl, oh, 46, sorry. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe, and she shall be made whole. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now he said, give her food. Brother Hagin talks about a lady that they prayed for, and then the next night they unprayed for. She ended up dying. She made it over the hump, and they, in unbelief, prayed for her, and she died. People and squirrely stuff, just squirrely, outward, powerless stuff. You know, it talks about the works that'll be burned up, or what remains. What you did by the Spirit remains, but all this other junk? Nope. Now, sometimes, you know, you're a baby and you don't know any better. But you'd think if you've been in it for 60 years, you ought to know something, you know, right? Yeah. All right. With Jesus, people pressed on him everywhere he went. When people find out that you're legit, they want to press on you too. They'll even press on you to get you to perform. Yeah. A lot of people just want you to do a quick fix prayer. I remember Keith Moore talking about, he did healing school for Brother Hagin. And this woman came in with her daughters, and she was terminal cancer. And he said, well, I'll pray for you, but I want you to come in here and sit in healing school first. Oh, I can't do that. My daughters are taking me to lunch. I just can't do it. You know, how willing are you? Are they willing? No, they want a quick fix. And they'll be about their business. You know, it really says if you have a problem, if you need something, you're to go to your father in secret and It says he'll reward you openly. But people think, I don't have time. I got to go to eat with my lunch, with my daughters. But you can do your prayer. I hear you have a healing ministry. So give me a quick fix, quick treatment here. I'd say, hit the door, sister. Hit the door. You're going to get the fruit of your choice. Isn't it time for us as Christians to quit being silly? Quit wasting God's time? Quit wasting our time and get serious about what He's called us to do? If you don't have nothing, you don't do nothing. I'm going to take a hard stance on this one because I had someone do this to me just a few years ago. And I hated it. It upset me terribly. Got somebody else involved in it. And I did. I prayed for them. But I know it's a situation where if you don't get the root cause, it's going to come back. That's in this situation. It's going to recur. See, that's that quick fix. Well, I know you're a person of faith. Well, it don't matter what kind of person I am. This is by the finger of God. This isn't by my faith. This is by the finger of God. It's by the power of God. Listen to me. You're going to have to take a hard stance on this. You might even have to get rude. I know I am. You're not going to pull on me and get me into a corner to perform for you. Oh, help us, Lord. The truth is that most people just want a quick fix and want to be on their way. I've had several over the years do that. Now, I've had other times where I had to pray for someone and it was a quick something, but God gave me the prayer and they come back with a good report. I've had that happen also. But, you know, this is what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, at least give me the time you give the doctor. You'll go and you'll sit in a doctor's office for hours. Then you'll go in there and he'll tell you, I want you to take this and do that. And you do everything he says. And he said, and if he tells you to come back Tuesday, you come back Tuesday. If he says come back Thursday, you come back Thursday. But when it comes to the things of God, they just want that quick fix. Lay your hands on me and pray for me and out the door they go. He said, give the Holy Ghost at least the time that you give to the doctor. How much more the great physician? Like I said, what does the doctor do? Well, he'll do tests. Then he'll have the test analyzed and he'll come back with a conclusion. Isn't that how it should be with the elders of the church? We'll look at that in a minute. Either they want to do it by the proper protocols of God's proper protocols, or they don't get it. They're not getting it from me. Not anymore. Shouldn't from you either. Because this isn't by our power. This is by God's power. It wasn't even by Jesus' power. It was by God's power. He said, by the finger of God do I cast out demons. He was a flesh and blood man. All right. Sickness is just an outward sign of an inside condition. All the medical field is it outside paste. Now, let's see, we'll just sew you together here and paste you up here. It does nothing where the real problem is. We must follow the Holy Spirit because He knows all the details and just what to do to keep them delivered, to get them free. And I'll talk to you about what the Lord talked to me about when you go to pray deliverance. The Lord may not have you take out the whole shooting match, something that's taken them 80 years to get there. One quick fix prayer and it's done. No. There's got to be some change. And that comes from the inside. If they're not willing to do any inside work, it's their choice. But see, they don't get it. Who teaches it? Not many. But probably the ones that do probably get some results too for people, because, you know, anyway. 1 Timothy 5:22. I'd be real cautious to ever say you're going to pray for somebody. If you're talking with somebody and they say, "Will you pray for me?" And you'll say, "Okay, if I pray for you, are you willing to do your part of it?" Because I said, this isn't just on me, this is on you too. Are you willing to hear what the Spirit says, and are you willing to accept it? And are you willing to make the changes that's going to be required of you to get it? I've been ran like an old, somebody ran me like an old whatever, sitting hen, over giving them an answer, praying, taking my time, praying in the Spirit, getting an answer from God, and then I gave them the answer, and then they up into my face about it. You're judgmental, you're this, you're that, and I'm thinking, just die then. I'm not going there anymore with anybody. Not trying to be hard. I just want to be under the power of the Spirit. I don't want to just walk in the flesh to try to do something to help people. If that's all you're trying to do, then go down to Goodwill or Salvation Army. Give people handouts. Because it's not doing them any good. It's not changing that person. If they're a bum, they're going to stay a bum. If they don't get some lasting, eternal stuff in them. If God gives you something for somebody, they have a responsibility as well as you. It's not all on you. But see, that's the way it's been. It's all on the minister. And if they don't get their answer, it's the minister's fault. They didn't hear from God. They didn't pray the prayer of faith. Oh, really? No. They left the whole responsibility on you. I remember one time, and I've told you this before, someone I'd prayed for their husband over and over, hours and hours and hours and hours. Thought, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray. The Lord said, "Oh, no, you're not." He said, did I not provide healing for that person also? Yes, sir, you did. Then they can pray and ask me and I'll do it. I said, fine by me. Because there's some people you can pray till hell freezes over and they ain't never going to do nothing. They just, I'm just like a bird with their mouth open. Just heap it on me, heap it on me, heap it on me. Oh, you're not a servant of God. It didn't happen. We have to quit putting up with this. The church has to change. We're to be a power force in this earth, not a laughing stock. Right now, the church is a laughing stock. No power to do anything except for pockets of people that actually get it. I'm telling you, as we go forth here, this is going to help you not to get yourself caught in that trap that I've been in for a lot of years, because people just pulling on me all the time, want me to pray for them because they know I get answers. Well, it's because I take the time. But if I'm wanting to take time out of my day to pray for someone, they have a responsibility in this, not just me. But they come in and they treat ministers of God like trash. We've seen that ever since we were young. I mean, 20 years old in churches. Run the pastor out of town. Call him everything but something good. It needs to stop. It's got to change. With the apostles and prophets on board, the change will come. It's kind of like Peter, you know, when that Ananias and Sapphira come in, the Holy Ghost told off on them. Well, today that seems so harsh. Oh, that's so harsh. No, they lied against the Holy Ghost. And dead they went. I wonder if they went to hell. I don't know. That stuff's going on all the time. And we wonder why there's no power. God's ministers are not just dogs to be trampled on to dissuade anybody's whim. All right. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Like, you know, here we go. You can get hooked up with somebody that all they're going to do is drain you till you're just nothing but a puddle in the floor. And it's basically saying here that you're going to be partakers of their, whatever their yuck yuck is. So you need to be cautious. All this, we'll pray for you. No, I ain't praying for nobody. They asked me to pray. Like I said, we're going to qualify. You're going to give me as much time as you give the doctor, and you're going to have a responsibility in this. And if you don't like the, you know, if you don't want to hear the result, and it might be something you don't like, then you need to get somebody else to pray for you. All right. Suddenly means speedily, rapidly, hastily, quickly, shortly, or sooner than should be. One time, my mother-in-law, by the way, I love my mother-in-law. One time, I had a friend that was just had a lot of hard things, financial things and everything, and she asked me to pray for her, so I did. And what's its giver? A God of obedience and finances. And I gave it to my mother-in-law to give to her. She said, I can't give her that. So I just went ahead and mailed it to her myself. See, Christians don't want to help them get well. They just, that's another one of those little, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, this is the way I feel about it. I'd rather hurt their feelings than them go to hell because I didn't say nothing. Jesus never promised that we'd be liked. He really didn't. He said, no, they're going to rail at you. They're going to persecute you. But to your own self be true. Don't let them drain you and use you. If they want to die, just let them die. Or if they, whatever, just, and I don't mean that crudely and ugly, but don't let them drain you. Don't get in that trap that you're their everything because you are not. You can do nothing except what the finger of God can do through you. And that has to be by you getting the wisdom to know how to execute and help somebody. I'm never going to let it happen again, and if I hurt some feelings, I don't mean to, but my days of being rend, casting pearl before swine, is over. We are not obligated to pray for everybody and everything. But we've been made to feel, well, you're not a very good Christian, are you? Why? Because you're a lazy, good-for-nothing so-and-so? You want me to do all the work? People that, oh, pray. Okay, I prayed. What am I supposed to pray? You know, pray. And then next week's the same thing. Pray. I got on a multiple text one time with somebody that asked me to do that. I must have had 50 texts praying, doing this, doing that, and then 50, 100 directions. And I'm going, I asked to be taken off of this multiple text. I thought, dear God, no wonder nothing ever gets done. Nobody was even agreeing. Now I wasn't even two of them saying the same thing. Don't even qualify. What are we supposed to be praying about now? To me, it's like a buckshot prayer. You might hit something out there somewhere, but it's very ineffective. That's what prayer lines are. Buckshot prayers. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, Luke 5. I hope this helping somebody. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean we're to be walked all over and trampled on. All we have for people is what it's got, Christ in us. But we have to hear from him about it. Luke 5. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of them. Is this right? Yes, I guess it is. All right. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned with their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, their sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according to Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Jesus, he had power. He heard from God. This wasn't just random stuff that he did. Right here, verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Holy Ghost is working this power. If he has to do it by the finger of God, so do we. Just a minute, let me look at something, if I had written something down here. Let's go to John. All right, John chapter 5. This is a prime example of what I'm talking about here today. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. What a rat. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. So this man, now you know, Jesus warned him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. He had rotten character. Went and sold Jesus out. If somebody's sick, there's an underlying cause. Getting to the root of the matter is very crucial, especially to get deliverance or to be well. His lifestyle. He was there as a result of his lifestyle. It looks like an unrepentant lifestyle. See, people go their own way and do their own thing all their life, and then when they something happens to them, they want you to just pray it off them. Well, I read that guy's medicine, but it didn't do nothing. There's more to it than that. Like I said, an inside condition reflects outside. All right. He was paralyzed on the outside, but his problems were on the inside. Most definitely. All right. I believe that the scripture bears this out. Looking at the ministry of Jesus, there's different times where there were different things that people had to do to change. It wasn't just, well, he just went around laying hands on everybody, everybody got healed, and everybody was well. No, it wasn't always clean, as they say. Sometimes there's a little more to it. You got to get it to the root cause. I remember C.K. Thompson saying she had a dream and she saw these mountains that had been spoken to and they were all spinning around. They had a taproot, these mountains. The Lord says, when you speak to those mountains, make sure you get it to the root. The mountain presented on the outside, there's a root to the inside. Okay. James 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that tells me the elders didn't just pray a quick prayer. Sounds like to me they took in a consultation, kind of like with a physician. And they went before the Lord and got a consultation on what is the problem. You know, when you get the root exposed and out, then the other thing will clear itself up in most cases. All right. All right. Right here. I believe that for me, this has changed how I will minister to people going forward. If they are serious, they will take the time to let me hear from God and follow His instructions, or they can go down the road to those empty hands. I will also say to them, are you willing to do whatever the Spirit says to do in this matter to be healed or delivered? If they are not, then I will say, I can't help you. This is serious business. This isn't just flippant stuff. It is time to give God time. If they give the world system time, isn't it reasonable to require the same protocols and procedures of God getting equal time? I'd say more so. Do not allow anyone to abuse you, press on you, or intimidate you in your stance. Instead of saying, well, we'll pray for you, let them ask for prayer, and then you can give them your conditions. And if they don't abide by those conditions, then you say, well, I have to say, no, I won't pray. Okay? God's word requires the utmost respect, and God's ways requires the utmost respect over doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. We give all this credence to the financial experts, the banker, or the doctor. But when it comes to God, it's just we make our demand. I expect it now. No. That's why they don't get it. It is time to get the nonsense out of the church. I love people want to help them, but it's time for someone that is... For those that are wasting God's time, just get the heck out. Sorry. The world's medical system has always been outside in. God's medical system is from the inside out. Outside in keeps people coming, paying for medicines and procedures. Inside out goes right to the problem, roots it out, so they're completely recovered and no recurrences. It's an insult to God to say that God is using the world system. It's an insult. It's blasphemy is what it is. His ways are so much higher. We're going to read some prescriptions here. Some scriptures are, the finger of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God our healer, the God that heals us. All right. There's quite a few of them. The first one's Isaiah 55. I read this a few weeks ago. It talks about root systems. Isn't that the answer? Getting to the root of the problem? You cut something off or medicate something, but does it get to the root? No, it doesn't. Might get some temporary something or another. All right, Isaiah 55, starting with 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I'd be too willing to say a lot of the problems of people is their thoughts. Then he returned unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Excuse me. Sickness comes from the inside. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto it is sent, where I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, and to sing them all the trees of the field shall clap their hands instead of the thorn. I'm telling you, that thorn, that's what's causing the problem. It may look like something on the outside, but there's the problem. It's a thorn inside. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In other words, that's how God takes care of things. Just like the man at the pool, he was not a nice man. And just because Jesus healed him didn't make him a nice man. But Jesus warned him, you better change your ways. You better stop sinning, or it's going to be worse. There's a scripture that talks about that. When you cast out, it can be worse, come back seven times worse. I was thinking, do you know where that is? Where is that? I thought I had written it down.
You read it a little while ago.
Did I read it?
Going through dry places.
Yeah, seeking rest. Yeah. See, if the house is not cleaned up, the inside part, then they can come back in. All right. I want my prescriptions to be written by the finger of God. All right. Exodus 15. And when they had come to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will permit none of these. I put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha. Okay, we're going to look at in the Gospels, and we're not going to look Old Testament. Starting with Matthew. If you want, I'll just read them because I've got quite a few. So if you want to, just listen. Matthew 8:7 is the first one. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. God's always willing. All right, verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He took out the root, didn't he? The devil that was enforcing. Okay. Matthew 10, verse 1. There's a bunch of them. I didn't put them all. Verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So that tells me that's linked. You go to the doctor, you don't cast out no devil, does he? No, he just treats symptoms. But God, his medicine, gets rid of the inside problem. That's how Jesus ministered. Okay, just 8 here. Heal the sick, he taught his disciples. Well, 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Free to have received, free to give. Casting out devils and healing kind of go hand in hand. You just got to find out what the problem is to know how to deal with it. You don't just take it out on your own, you just do it. You'll be like the 7 sons of Sceva. All right, Matthew 12:10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto him, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, if it is lawful to do on the Sabbath days, then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Well, see, Big Pharma don't like that. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Taking their money. There's the medical system, taking your money. All right. Let's see verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Okay, Matthew 14, 14. We need to be people of God, but we need to be strong, and we're not going to be intimidated by churchy people. They're going to own up. If they want part of the program, they're going to own up. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Well, that's when he fed them supernaturally. There were so many people with sicknesses and diseases. You know, it's not taboo to talk about evil spirits nowadays. We just medicate them, you know. Back in that day, they knew about the demons and, you know, they manifested openly. Okay, Matthew 15, 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. He's willing. Like Brother Hagin, I think, called his people divine healing technicians. The church needs to respect God's medicine and stop supporting Big Pharma. And it's the Holy Grail. No. It's from hell. 19:2. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21. I mean, it's all through here. A lot of part of his ministry was just this. This is 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Mark 1:34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. You wonder why the doctor just keeps you coming, and it just seems like it recurs? You gotta cast out the devil. I'm going to stop there. I've got bunches of more. Mark, Luke, Acts. Well, I'll read the ones in Acts and we'll stop. This is Acts 3. I've been up since 4, so. And as the lame man was healed, this is Acts 3:11. Held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. He was there in Jesus when Jesus was alive, sitting at the gate every day. All right, 4:30, they get thrown in jail because of what they did. All right, 4:30 says, Acts, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They're talking to the leaders that had arrested him, that it wasn't by their power that this man is healed, it's because of Jesus' power. Finger of God. Finger of God. All right, one more. 1 Peter 2:24. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. All goes together, doesn't it? Sin? Mm-hmm. All right.